Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Lucky us for having Barbara Verkreuze with us today. Barbara is a kindness advocate, mentor, personal coach, business coach, thought leader, and public speaker who has been published in the Huffington Post and Thrive Global. She reaches millions of people with her weekly inspirational talks on different social platforms around the subject of powerful kindness. Welcome, Barbara. Can you start with sharing a bit about who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Well, I'm Barbara. First of all, I'm a human, and I could say that in times like this, we always say what we do and we label ourselves. And I will, of course, say what my business is about. But for me, the most important thing is we talk from human to human. Indeed. So every human who is listening, first of all, I feel very much connected with humans. And I'm running a coaching business, which has different pillars. One of my biggest clients is BMW, where I work with them and do mainly streamlining processes, working on the performance of teams, doing quality management and the soft skill side of HR with several dealerships. Then I have my personal coaching clients, which are mainly entrepreneurs, corporate leaders, and I guide and mentor where they are stuck in life, how we can move on, how they can, you know, like develop more, expand. That's my second pillar. Then I founded an online school where I present online courses, and I also have a web shop with physical products, and I do public speaking, and I'm in the process of writing my first real book, which is called The Path of Powerful Kindness. That's it in a nutshell. Oh, I'm a mom. Married.
There we are. That's what I was going to say. I'm also a human side of person. So first of all, so you're a woman. You're over 50. Yes. Where are you from?
Belgium.
You're from Belgium. You're a mum.
Yes. Three children. Who are two are in college and one last year in high school. Married for over 22 years now. We know each other for more than 25 years. So like fully in life.
You are fully in life. You're thriving. And that's why I'm absolutely delighted to have you here today. Now, the topic that we chose, I mean, first of all, there are so many things that you do. It's almost hard to know where to start. But anyway, you also have just mentioned that you're working on your book. You're going to be a published author. And the title that you chose for today was Powerful Kindness. So walking the path of powerful kindness. So my first reaction was, it almost felt like a contradiction in terms, but somehow it really resonated very nicely. So powerful and kindness are things that we don't always put in the same basket, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because for a very long time, people have confounded niceness with kindness.
And kindness, not even in a nice way, almost in a, you know, you want to be the bad girl and the kick-ass one and not the kind, sweet one sort of thing. That's the problem, right?
Yes. And I think that there's just a big difference. You can be badass and kind. You can be thriving. You can be flamboyant and kind. It has nothing to do with being a doorman.
I think that probably is the first thing that people somehow not think. Of course, we all know that it's good to be kind. And I think women were traditionally thought of as the kind, nurturing. But somehow over the years, it has got that sort of connotation of weakness or a doormat, as you've just said, which is a real shame because, I mean, we were talking about being human and being connected. I mean, kindness is something which enhances and, you know,
absolutely. And I think the thing kindness and weakness maybe stems from the entire business and work environment, where indeed women, if they wanted to climb the corporate ladder, let's say, if they were too kind, it didn't work. I'm a business owner for more than 25 years, and BMW is a work environment which is more than 90% a male environment. Yes. And I am surrounded by quite some alpha males. But for some reason, I found my voice of standing up for myself in a kind and powerful way. I didn't have to become a bitch to be successful, right, business owner, to be successful in life. And I promised myself as a child that I would never let my, you could say, a certain purity to be poisoned by the outside.
Right. Yes. Which is something that at the beginning, when women did start to go into career, I think almost felt that they had to do, indeed, that, yes, they had to put on this tough aura. If they were too kind, they were seen as weak, and you had to go out there and you, yes, had to be the best and you had to be tough. And if it meant standing, yeah, on top of somebody else, and that's what you did. And you wore, you know, dark blue or black suits, yes, because, yes, you also, yes, had to look tough, etc. Whereas thankfully, I mean, I'm certainly very grateful that we now live in a society which is at least going in the right direction.
Yes,
I think, right, yet, direction. But exactly, there, men, yes, are taught soft skills, right? To listen, yes, to lead by example.
Well, I think the most beautiful thing is that, as well in business, as well in bigger corporations, organizations, even government, they have seen that the most inspiring leaders, the leaders who had most impact, had a very high level of emotional, right, intelligence, social intelligence, combined with cognitive intelligence, of course.
Yes.
But those who had only the cognitive, without the empathy, without the emotional intelligence and social intelligence, are the traditional, what we call managers or bosses, and they are not leaders.
Yes.
There's a big difference. So in having that message, yes, to be a leader, to be a fulfilled human being, you need to be in balance. You need to be powerful and kind. Many of the too kind people often are in like the spiritual realm.
Yes.
And they are happy to stay there because it's safe there. Oh, you know, like the nice, kind people together, and they want to stay far away from everything which is business, which is, yeah, harsh. And in my book, I try to bring those two together, because the spiritual people might have a deep understanding of on life and human life, but they do achieve not so much because they are not in the real world and not grounded enough. They're far away from power. The powerful people are so many, many times ego, and it's all greed, status, you know, like ego, which destroys the world. So if we, yeah, could have the people who understand come together, you know, like with the power,
complement each other, right?
Yes,
it's a bit like men and women, or yes, extroverts, yes, and introverts.
Yes, yes, the male energy, the female energy coming together. I think that's the main thing. You could say the power is more the male energy, which is not always only present in man.
True,
or
exactly.
The female energy can be very present in a man and less present in a woman. So if we talk about that, like the yin and yang coming together again, then we will see that we will be a lot more considerate in every decision we make. We will think, okay, is this good for the planet? Is this good for the community? Right. Is this good for the employees? So it's really having that long-term vision.
Holistic, right? It's all
holistic,
in together.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And, yes, and it's the sort of win-win, isn't it? You know, I mean, you,
yes,
might stand on top of your competitor to get the deal, but you know you've lost a potential, yes, friend or ally.
Absolutely.
Or maybe somebody who could be
and
with you.
And it's short-term.
Later.
It's
it
only
is short-term.
Short-term.
So we say walking the path of powerful kindness. How,
yes,
would you recognize that? How would you define it? And how would you know you were actually on it?
I think one of the first, you know, it's a training. It's,
right,
a training in one of the most difficult things we have is like being kind to people who are rude, being kind to people who are bossy, being kind to people who are simply unkind. But
or who
if
are not
we,
like us, I suppose, as well.
Who,
right,
are not, who are very different. So when we can see that the kindness is about us and not the other person. So even if the other person is rude to me, that rudeness is a reflection of that person. It has nothing to do with me. Of course, I can speak up in a kind way. I do not have to accept the rudeness, but I don't have to be personally attacked by it.
Right.
So in training yourself in not, you know, like action, reaction, one is rude, I yell back. No, stay outside, be very mindful to choose your response. Right. Then you're powerful.
That's exactly because what it was making me think of, you know, Stephen Covey's that happiness is found in, yes, in the gap between, yes, trigger and response. And it's also, yes, staying true to yourself, right?
True,
it's
like, to, absolutely.
Most of us know as mothers, you know, there have been times when maybe we've even been frightened for a child. And how do we respond instead of being loving, yes, and kind? I mean, it's all of that. And I like what you said about not taking it personally and maybe looking at that person and thinking, you know, it might be something that they're hiding.
Yes.
My kids are always saying that I'm naive from that point of view, because I always say, you know, I don't believe that people are fundamentally bad. I think we've either had bad experiences who've taught us a certain way to react, or they're actually probably even hiding something. Aggressive people are actually maybe the most insecure inside.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. They might be a very tiny, tiny percentage of humanity, which has just a distortion, like biologically. Yes. So we're not talking about those people, the psychopaths, the people who have no feelings.
Right? Yes.
Those do exist. And we're just talking about people like you and me, who, you know, like you have the nature and the nurture, mm-hmm, who had very bad luck in the family they were born, in the environment they were born, and it has so much to do with insecurity, but for us also. So what I have learned now, when I get triggered, I look at myself and I say, aha, Barbara, that's interesting. What's happening here? Why do I get triggered? And let me give you an example. Let's say I see a friend again after 10, 15 years, and that friend tells me, oh my God, Barbara, you have aged and gained weight.
Yes.
Yeah. If I feel fully confident in who I am, and I'm like, I would like to smile and say, okay, so what's up with you? And just dismiss that whole, you know, like comment and move on with the conversation. But if I'm very insecure about how I look, if I think it's very important what the other people think about me, I might be upset for days.
Right.
So it's just in the trigger is teaching you something.
Yes. So to look at what it's saying to you, right?
Yes. So it's an unhealed part of yourself. There's somewhere still a wound which needs your loving attention.
Right. So it's not blaming and putting it out there. It's what brought you to this path?
As a child, I was always called too kind for this world. People would say, oh, Barbara, you know, you will be get, you know, like, stop it. You're too kind. And even as a child, I was like, what does that mean? Being too kind? Does that mean in what place did I arrive that I have to be left? And then that was really, as a child, I was quite spiritual, sensitive, but like many people, I got kind of molded into what society conditioned. You go to high school, college, you get married. I had the construction business. I started at 28. And at the age of 32, when my youngest was only 8 weeks old, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 skin cancer. So, and I was told I had 6 more months to live, which is, of course, like, it's that moment in being faced with death. So suddenly that you think about your legacy. I was very positive. I was very strong because I still have, you know, like my youngest was 6 or 8 weeks old. I had all those hormones still going in me, like of the mom. And I was like a lioness. I was going to survive. I was positive. And I had a deep faith, even if the doctors were like, you know, like they were really very pessimistic. I had several surgeries and a year of chemotherapy. But I told myself, if I die right now, am I happy with my legacy? And the answer was no. I had felt that for some reason, what I felt was in my soul or my soul's purpose, I just had not listened to it. So I promised myself, if I survive, I will take the second chance with both hands and really work every day towards leaving a positive legacy. Of course, it doesn't go from one day to another. I still had my construction business. I started to follow courses, coaching courses, conferences, self-development conferences. And in 2016, I was still running my construction business. I was very scared to stop it because it was, And then I got betrayed by two of my employees, which left me with €200,000 of debt, and I had to end it. So it was like the universe telling me. Mm-hmm. So yes, now it's time, which also learned me a very important lesson in self-worth. There I was, 46 years old. I had to start all over again. Yeah. And many people were like, oh my God, Barbie, you're 46. You will never find, you know, like you're dead. So what did I do? I cried for 2 days, but mainly not about the money, about the people who betrayed me. Yeah. I trusted them.
Betrayals were nice, yes.
No. So, but then I was like, okay, what can I do? And for some reason, I got an opportunity to work with BMW. But in the beginning, it was like a small assignment and more like below my level, more administration. But I took it in both hands, even if I had to swallow my pride because I was still a business owner and still with BMW, I'm invoicing. So I'm really still a business owner. But the work that I had to do was something that before, you know, like I would have somebody else do.
Yes.
But okay, I was like, okay, I'm in it right now. Let's just move through it. And I worked. And if you have some value to offer, ultimately, it boils up. So after 3 months, they would give me bigger assignments and bigger. After 6 months, I was part of the management team.
Wow. So, Barbara. I mean, this in itself is a lesson. I mean, it really is.
But it was,
and trusting that they will see the value that you have in whichever way it will come up.
Yes. But in a male environment, I came from being, you know, like the boss, to an environment where I was an external consultant. I worked, but in that male environment and in the beginning, since I'm like a happy and shiny, sunny person, they chuckled at me. They didn't take me so serious because of my kindness.
Yeah.
But if you're really dedicated to be excellent in what you're doing, if you're passionate, in the beginning, they always look for all your weaknesses, and they, you know, like I have had management or board meetings, which were so heavy, you know, like testing me, that in between I had to go to the bathroom, cry out and say, like, Barbara, you're stronger than this, and then go in the boardroom again. And now I have so much expertise. So I have found such a way standing in my power. So if they would say something, I'm like, stop, hold it now and listen.
Wow.
But I don't have to yell for that.
Yes. And so that's what you teach them, is you actually teach the employees as well how to get what they want and need, but from a walking the path of kindness and not of bullying.
Yes. No, absolutely. Always constructive. It is, we can vent. If something happened, you know, like venting is okay. But then going into dwelling negatively, no. Zero tolerance on negativity. Then we look like, what can we learn from it? How can be constructive? I only want to hear something which is constructive.
Yeah.
No blaming and no complaining.
And I mean, this is now something that you're taking everywhere. I read that you also did something for the UN, one of the foundations, right?
Yes, I had a talk for the Girl Up Foundation.
Wow.
And I talked about leading with powerful kindness too, because it's a topic apparently that people need to hear. So many people have a kind heart.
Yes.
And do not know how to, if you're in, until now, in a work environment, which kind of people have always been rewarded? It was the bullies, the self-promoters, and the cheats.
Very true.
So, but showing a way that you don't have to become one of those three and still successful. And I feel like working environment is ready now for that.
I agree. And it's not even being as successful. It's actually, in a way, being even more successful because you're creating links.
Yes. What is the biggest reward? The reward is in the virtue.
Right.
Right. It's your kindness, which is your gift. You know, like that's the biggest gift. You don't have to betray yourself
yes.
and become someone you
that you're
don't
not.
Want to become.
Yeah,
you
don't have you're to not wear, daring be yourself.
Yes. So not have to wear a mask of arrogance or the mask of, you know, like bullying. You don't have to wear that mask.
Yeah.
But it also has to do with the power of vulnerability.
True.
If you're kind, and even in difficult moments, you're kind of vulnerable. You're like, okay, this happened. I'm listening. And then you disarm many times.
Exactly. Because... And that's how you make connections as well, isn't it? I mean, I was talking to a teenager the other day, talking about the difficulties, especially with Corona, yes. where, you know, people haven't been seeing each other at university and suddenly uh-huh. they are, and having the impression that everybody else has friends and they don't. And I was thinking, but in a way, the connections are made when we do share a vulnerability.
Yes.
Whatever
absolutely.
That is at first, you don't have to pour absolutely. Your heart out, but it can
be
that you're worried about an exam. It can be mm-hmm. that you're confused about the exam dates. It's always a little vulnerability. And that's where we make that common factor, isn't it? That common
yes.
human factor. And we don't
absolutely.
Do that when we walk around being robots.
No. And when we're afraid to show our emotions, when we are afraid to be just ourselves, it requires courage.
And is that what your book is going to be about then, to inspire people to find that courage themselves?
I think if my life served that people can shift their idea about kindness from weakness to strength,
right.
my life had a sense, you know, just right. bringing that into the world, like kindness is a strength. Kindness opens doors. Kindness is powerful, because if you, one of the stories which as a child has always had a very deep impression of me was turn the other cheek. And I, first time I heard this, I was like, yes, that's me. I turn the other mm-hmm. cheek. People would say, oh, you dumbass, why would you turn the other cheek? But if you think about it, the person who is aggressive, who is eaten away by his emotions, negative emotions, by his impulses, who cannot contain himself, that is the weak one. Not the one who is calm, centered, composed, and has been slapped and say, okay, I can handle that.
But done from a genuine part of love, because I was seeing something the
yes.
other day, you know, there's like this slogan going, kill them with kindness, you know,
yes.
which, okay, the idea does sound,
yes.
You know, I mean, there's the two sides to
yes.
it. You're not doing it to put somebody down. It's not like
no,
chuckling
no,
at somebody
no.
or smiling
no,
at them.
No. When you're truly kind in the core, you look with compassion, you can see through
yeah.
that aggressive behavior.
I agree. Very
and you look
so.
With compassion, look with compassion, and you radiate the compassion, and you see that person must be very unhappy, very insecure, and not from a way that you look down, no,
exactly,
from a
yeah.
human perspective.
Human to
we have all felt insecure in our lives, we have all felt like the world was against us, and we all have. But maybe that person has never been taught there's a different way to respond.
And it makes a wave, doesn't it? I mean, if you have
yes,
that attitude
yes.
towards one person, then that person might give somebody else the benefit
absolutely.
Of the doubt and again and again. And then we wouldn't end up with all these horrible situations in the world that we have now if we
no,
were operating
absolutely.
From
and,
this is and, love, isn't it?
Yes,
we all have
love.
That common
that's
factor.
Yes.
It sounds wishy-washy.
And, yes, and that's one of the chapters in my book too. We have artificial intelligence. We have technologically so advanced. But in who we are, many of us are just still toddlers.
Right.
I want it now. It's me.
Yes.
Oh, he said something. I don't yep. want it like that. Slap. Like a
yep.
toddler.
Yeah.
We have not.
And from a position of scarcity and not of
yes,
unity.
Yes, yes. So, and we have not learned just to transcend, you could almost say, mm. that persona who makes us crazy sometimes.
Yeah. And the ego, as you were saying, which says, you know, if he's got it, I've got to have it. And if he's taking this, then I'm losing out. Instead of it being from a position of abundance, which then in a certain way is love, right? That there is enough for us all. And we all benefit having it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. I mean, so, okay, when is this book due to come out?
I think a second half of the year.
Right. Well, still I'm very much looking forward to that already, and do keep us posted. But for right now, I always ask to share three tips we can do immediately. What things would you recommend to encourage us on this path of powerful kindness?
I would say, especially at the beginning of the day, when you open your eyes in the morning, first is going to deep gratitude.
Okay.
I think it's a very common one, but for me, every morning I wake up and I'm grateful. Yet another day. I have almost now 19 years extra that I had.
Yes.
So I'm grateful. And I think if you live in gratitude, it's a gift to yourself.
Yes.
Because you focus a lot more on all the good things present in your life. So if you focus on all the good things present in your life, you're grateful for that.
Yes.
More of those things come because that's what you're vibrating. Take time to be still, like 15 minutes, just if you listen to guided meditation. It's especially to not let your, you know, like the chatter here, run your day. Just go still first. And, you know, like you have thousands of guided meditation, but just, you know, like go outside your mind, you could say, to start a day. And then what I do every morning is set the intention. Whatever comes my path today, I will deal with it with grace and ease. It doesn't always work. setting the intention, it works a lot more than you get up, you check your phone, you're like, oh my God.
Already stressed, exactly.
Yes. So it's just setting you in the right, you could say in the right vibe to go through the day. And you have like that aura. Light, positivity, and you know, like a lot of negativity will just bounce off.
And that's power, isn't it? That is power. And that's making that groundedness. Barbara, thank you very much. Do please let us know when the book is out. I'm very much looking forward to reading it too. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Stay on. For the rest of you, time now to take on board what Barbara has been talking about and the value, the profound value of walking the path of powerful kindness. We've talked about not taking things personally, as in not taking them to heart, but looking also at ourselves and what is triggering us in that. We're looking at value, about letting our own value boil up and be ourselves. We talked also about being passionate about what we're doing, even if we have to start from a setback position. Excelling with passion and value will be rewarded. The idea of being positive, and yes, sure, we have bad things which happen to us and we can cry, but as long as we don't dwell on it, then think, you know, how can I use this constructively? What can I do about it? And the last three tips Barbara has just shared, which are start the day with gratitude, start the day in stillness, give yourself just that little cushion before you start your day where you can set your intention. And I like that one. I will deal with whatever comes my way with grace and ease. Good luck to you all and see you again this time next week.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.